This is what it's come to with the Dallas Cowboys. It's just important that they don't get blown out tonight. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're talking about professional football teams here. This is not college. This is not an FCS school going in to play an FBS school, Pearl. But the way that things have gone for Dallas, I do think it is very important for them to hold their own. I think it's important that they don't look bad after the Micah Parsons trade. They are telling you they want to sell out to stop the run. Now you face Saquon Barkley and a running quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who has the ability to run. And I think it's important that the Cowboys hold their own and make this at least a one-score game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's interesting, because last year the Cowboys blew out Cleveland in week one, then got blown out bizarrely by New Orleans in week two. So, you know, the first week of the season, we know this, I mean, is very funny. The ball bounces in really funny ways. Teams are not really at their full strength. Some starters play in the preseason, some didn't. So I think week one is really deceiving. I kind of agree with you. I'd like to counter-argue that perception matters more for the Cowboys. But the reality is, if this was a normal team and they look bad in week one, that doesn't mean they're going to be bad for the season. The Bengals look terrible every week one, and it's impacting their record. But they're a different team in a month. I do think there is extra pressure. I'm not going to argue that. But generally, we are going to come in next Monday and completely overreact to what we see, because it's all going to flip-flop by week two.
I totally understand that. Yeah, the Ravens started 0-2 last year.
Yeah,
clearly,
exactly.
The sky was not falling, but they also didn't trade their best player a week and a half before the season to someone in the conference and set off all this turmoil. Like, when the Cowboys beat the Browns that opener, it was like there was a positivity about, you know, getting the CD Lamb deal done and Dak getting signed. Ooh. Like, hey, you did it. You know, there's a commitment here, or all that offseason was just for nothing. This is totally different. This was where Jerry Jones completely zagged on everybody, and instead of just actually paying Micah Parsons, called the bluff and traded him out of town.
Yep.
So I think for Cowboy fans, especially because we're lucky that we get to talk to people and we get the immediate feedback of not just social media, but literally you guys being able to call us and tell us how you feel. And the overwhelming sense that we got was the Cowboy fans said to Micah Parsons, good riddance. They didn't want him. And so that's another reason why there's a lot of Cowboy fans. I'm not saying you're drinking the Kool-Aid. You have your reasons for not wanting him on the team. I'm not going to disrespect you there. You have your reasons. But I think if you took that tact of, oh, the Cowboys can still be a competitive team this year, even without Micah Parsons, yeah, I think it matters how it looks tonight.
You know, I think part of the reason, though, is the fans think that the Cowboys aren't going anywhere with or without Micah Parsons. And they're basing that on 30 years of experience here. I don't think they think Micah Parsons was taking them over the top. I think a smart fan would be like, it's time to rebuild. So, you know what? I mean, reality is...
But you're caught in the middle because you're paying Dak at the top of the market, CD at the top of the market, Adigazua. Like, you've paid guys.
Yeah, but come on. Do you really think Dak is leading this core? I mean, honestly, I think they took a massive flyer on George Pickens, and maybe he reinvigorates the offense and they surprise everyone. But, hey, Dak's contract is kind of reaching close to the end. I think that maybe moving on is now on the Cowboys' mind. And you see that in some of the language after the trade. Like, Jerry was talking about cap flexibility. He was talking about the future.
He was talking about anything. He was just making sure, seeing what stuck to the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he said, like, oh, yeah, salary space is my number one priority. I was like, what?
Since when? Since 2 weeks ago when you thought you had a deal done with Michael Parsons? You know, it's funny because, you know, there are a lot of things that are alike from the Luka Doncic trade. There are a lot of things that are very different with Michael Parsons and Luka Doncic. But the one thing that did ultimately kind of save this for the Dallas Mavericks was getting Cooper Flagg. Like, the idea that you are going to be able to turn over the future to somebody new makes this a lot more palatable. You know, I think that's the only way that the Cowboys actually win this trade is if somehow one of these draft picks directly correlates to the Dallas Cowboys getting their quarterback of the future. Now, I don't think it's going to happen this year, but maybe next. Obviously, they've got the 2026 draft picks. I understand that. You know, Jerry talks about turning Micah Parsons into 3 to 5 players. One of those has got to be Dak Prescott's replacement.
Well, it's not just the Packers draft pick. So you could argue that getting rid of Parsons will cost you 2 wins, 3 wins. So you move way up in the draft. Actually, Vegas thinks he's going to cost him 1.5 wins.
Yep.
And the line moved. So Vegas believes in Micah Parsons. So it's not just the Packers picks. It's also, you'll be a lot worse. So you might end up with a 4, 5, or 6 draft, especially in 2 years. So 4, 5, or 6 pick, that is. Yeah, I mean, this could work out for a quarterback in a big, big way. You know, how did they rebuild in the 90s? It was because Troy Aikman arrived. And I'm a fan of Dak Prescott, but he ain't Troy Aikman.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Doesn't matter how it looks tonight for the Dallas Cowboys against Perloff's Philadelphia Eagles. Let's get to the quarterback carousel.
I feel so lucky to be the quarterback.
It's the position everyone wishes they could play.
Why can't I be quarterback, huh?
Sit down and shut up.
But it's not for the faint at heart.
Quarterbacks are premium.
I think those things add up to make it quarterbacking the toughest job in sports.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
All right, we're getting near the end here. We only have 3 quarterbacks left, right?
That's right. So we'll be doing doubleheader tomorrow. But today we're talking about the Chargers.
Go, Chargers, go.
We have one, Justin Herbert. So I'm asking Maggie and Perloff, will Justin Herbert ascend to becoming a top 3 quarterback this season?
It's going to be a no for me, dog. No. And in fact, I'm actually fading the LA Chargers this year. Spoiler alert. I do not have them making the playoffs, which was hard for me, Pearl, because I picked them last year to make the playoffs, and I was very happy I was right about that. The Jim Harbaugh effect to me, I don't know if I can trust it. Now, here's a little bit behind that. Justin Herbert definitely got better. The offense got much better with Greg Roman arriving. But last year could have been a bit of a mirage. They had a really easy schedule where they played against a lot of backup quarterbacks, and they still found themselves trailing in a lot of games. They either trailing or they couldn't hold on to leads in the fourth quarter. It's going to be a step up in terms of competition with their opponents this year. And I don't know if that Harbaugh magic exists like it did when he was with the San Francisco 49ers. So I don't see this as a gigantic year for the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm fading the Chargers as well. I mean, the Rashawn Slater injury was probably the most impactful offseason injury. Lose their left tackle. Now, they have Joe Alt to move around, which is pretty good backup option. But Justin Herbert's numbers fell apart last year with Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh wants to run. There's no way in that format Justin Herbert's going to be viewed as a top 3 quarterback. He might win more, but last year he dropped to 23 touchdowns and 3 picks, which is amazing, until the playoffs started and he saw a real pass rush, and that was a disaster against Houston. I mean, this is a guy in his second year threw 38 touchdowns, Maggie. We thought he was going to be Mahomes. That is not happening and is never going to happen under Jim Harbaugh. And it's not even important that he does do that. But I think statistically, the Chargers don't want him to be a top 3 quarterback. I mean, that's not how Jim Harbaugh wins football games. You saw it at Michigan, and I think that is his most recent example. Colin Kaepernick never threw for high volume in San Francisco under him. I don't know whose quarterbacks he had. Did he have Josh Johnson back at San Diego State or Andrew Luck at Stanford? Like, he's never been a chuck the ball around the ballpark guy. It's just not going to happen with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, which is funny because Justin Herbert passes every eye test imaginable. And when they added the play action, he did get a lot better. Again, I just think it's going to be a step up in competition for them, where last year I think they benefited. And then you saw when they got to first of all, when they played good quarterbacks, their defenses were just not good enough. But also, when they got to the playoffs, I don't even think Jim Harbaugh can stop chargering. You know, chargering, I don't love to just go to the narrative thing because you guys can throw it right back in my face. All right, Bill's never going to win a Super Bowl. You're right. There's like a history and a scar tissue that exists. And, you know, maybe it's a figment of my imagination, but I don't think so. Chargering, like, there's just something very snake-bitten about this franchise that you even saw in the playoffs with Justin Herbert and the 4 picks in against Houston. Like, I don't know if Jim Harbaugh can overcome this.
I think he can. I mean, I think their strategy is pretty obvious. They keep investing in the line and the run game. They took on Marion Hampton in the first round this year. Like, if you run the ball down people's throat, you do not have to worry about luck. That is just, you know, it's a much more old school, less nuanced way to approach football. We'll see, because, you know, fantasy drafts around the league are salivating over Marion Hampton, but they're going to have Najee Harris will play, apparently. I don't even know what's that.
After the fireworks accident?
That'll be a 30 for 30. I think the Chargers are going to be physical like those Niners teams under Harbaugh. I totally agree with you. It's a very, very challenging division.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Everybody knows the quarterback.
You know, to be honest, there's a couple teams that I found myself doing this. We're going to make our picks, division winners, you know, kind of lay out how we think the playoffs are going to go and give you a Super Bowl winner, obviously. But there were a couple teams that I just had to finally just cut the apron strings off the bat. And the Chargers were one of them.
Go Chargers, go.
Again, I picked them to make the playoffs last year because I thought they'd get a good Harbaugh bump. And they're not a bad team. I'm finally cutting ties with Jacksonville. I thought about it. I love Travis Hunter. We all do. I still like Trevor Lawrence. It's nothing to do with that, although it doesn't help.
Duval.
That's a really bold move of you to cut ties with a team that its team win total is 6.5.
I know. I'm really out here on a
Win. Yeah. Wait, you're cutting ties on Jacksonville Jaguars? Who's next? Are you going to lose faith in the
Cleveland Browns?
I was going to say the Arizona Cardinals, but they could be a playoff team.
Actually, so. I have them in the playoffs. Yeah. It's funny. I'm going opposite on the Arizona Cardinals, so we'll see if I look like
an idiot.
You're
given like 20 teams now for the playoffs, Mags.
I know.
But
half the league makes it, Manny, so I'm right on par.
Yeah, I mean, the win total is kind of downish on the Jags. People really against. They could be a... I'm actually more high on the Jags now than I was.
Like, it's really fading quarterbacks is what I'm doing. Like, I'm
what's wrong with Trevor Lawrence? No, that dude is awesome.
I know, but what am I seeing? Like, at some point, like, I thought he was going to be awesomer, if you will. And I know he was hurt last year. But it's like, can Justin Herbert be a thing consistently? Can Trevor Lawrence be a thing consistently? Can Aaron Rodgers have this big, you know, like final awesome season? Tua, you know, some of these like quarterbacks that we've had questions about for a little bit, all different types of questions. I'm finally cutting ties.
What you're saying is you haven't seen the results. You've just seen the hype for some of these guys.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, then you're putting Kyler Murray in, who you can see why he has not succeeded. It's obvious.
Yeah, this is more of a, I was actually surprised. Arizona was not a terrible team last year. Like, one of the big things I do when trying to figure out who's going to make the playoffs is, you got to look at the win totals from a year ago along with the strength of schedule of this year. And if you are a team, though, that had like three wins, four wins, five wins, are you really making a jump to 10 wins? Are you 5 wins better than you were a year ago? That's a tall task. Meanwhile, Arizona, the starting point is 8-9. They did not bottom out last year. So to go from 8 wins to get to 10, that I can see.
Yeah, I mean, they're like the analytic crowd's darling. You know, everyone loves... I told you this a few weeks ago. I was like, everyone loves Jonathan Gannon. You're like, Jonathan Gannon, the pew-pew-pew-pew guy? Their head coach?
It's like Star Wars?
Yeah, no, I mean, their win total is 8.5. Because they did win 8 games last year. They're a tough physical team as well. You know what? It's really hard. We have created this category of teams where you put the LA Chargers, the Arizona Cardinals. I'd say you put the Bears in that list too. Mm. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the teams that you're right, like these quarterbacks should be taking them next level, but you just can't fully trust them because you haven't seen it. But that's how the NFL works. Eventually these guys break through.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So it's going to be a no for me, dog. Randy, what was his name? No.
Randy Jackson.
Randy Jackson from American Idol.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I can't call him off well. No.
That has been so long since I heard that expression.
It's going to be a no for me, dog. I went for it with the dog, which I should not have done.
We should use nothing but expressions that are 17 years old on this show.
I did call the Cowboys a dingbats last hour.
Yeah, that's more like 65 years old. But dingbat is, I think, from the 40s.
Question for you out there. Does it matter how it looks for the Cowboys tonight?
Dog.
That's number one, dog. No. Homie. Does it matter?
Homie.
They're significant underdogs. 8.5 was what I saw. I think it's been toggling now between 7.5 and 8 is the line. We'll get you updated right there. But, you know, that's big for the NFL. Obviously, it's massive.
I'm really curious when they're covering this game, who do they talk about more? Like, how much Cowboys talk is there? You know what I mean? I mean, it's Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth who are pros at this.
No, not Al Michaels. Mike Tirico,
sorry.
Here's the guy.
Right. Yeah, you got Amazon in my brain here.
Sorry.
Yeah, I wonder if this is going to be like the offseason, a referendum on the America's team. If the game goes badly for Dallas, is it going to be, you know, I guess there are two competing storylines. You have plenty of time. You have 3 hours to kill here. But I wonder if it's going to be how much offseason stuff they talk. How much Micah Parsons? We should do a drinking game. How many times do they talk about Micah Parsons, who will not be on the field?
Oh, I'll be inebriated.
You will be in a coma.
Yeah, I don't know if Tirico and Collinsworth are going to go there. They're not hype guys.
Let's go, y'all.
It's the biggest story.
They're not Stephen A. I mean, this is football analysts. Like, Chris Collinsworth has Pro Football Focus. Like, these are true analysts. These are not let's get headlines guys.
I love everybody.
It would be negligent if they didn't talk about it.
All right, over under, how many times does Micah Parsons' name come up tonight?
What do you want to set the line at?
That's what I'm asking you.
What's I would the set the line at eight. Eight Micah Parsons. Eight times, yeah. Micah or Micah Parsons or that trade or something like the reference.
No, at 7.5 or 8.5.
You got to go half. Yeah.
Okay,
give me
sorry,
half number.
Let's go 7.5, and I'll take the over.
Sports.
I think it should be 8.5.
Okay.
A juice to plus 120. and I think all we have to do is the word Parsons.
What about what a reference to the trade? Does that also count?
Got it. The word Parsons. We got to be very specific here.
How about this one?
Michael Parsons.
Yeah.
If they botch his name.
I got to be honest. Like, I'd be shocked if it was under 8.5, but I'll take the under.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.
I'll take the under, and the loser pays for breakfast for the crew.
Okay, wait, hold on. Do I also get the pregame show?
I feel great.
Of course not. You get the game. Because we're talking about Tirico and Collinsworth. You'll get 8.5.
I don't know. It feels a little loaded now.
You want the under? I'll definitely take the over.
So I'm getting breakfast tomorrow?
You're getting breakfast.
Yeah, let's flip up. I'll take the under now.
Okay, I'm on the over. 8.5.
Got
the
all
word,
that?
Parsons.
What about just Micah? Does that count?
That should count.
Absolutely.
Thank
count.
You. I didn't even think of that.
I'm just saying, we got to make this thing on the up and up. Michael does not count. Michael is not it. Right.
If he says
Jerry
Michael,
Jones interview.
If they in-game interview Jerry and he calls him Michael, do I get that?
No.
About Michael Parsons.
All right. If NBC needed any more ratings, we just gave it to him. Now you can count the Micah Parsons references.
888-710-4ISN. I wish they had like a little ticker. On the bottom right. Ding, ding.
Sometimes I turn off the volume. I'm going to have to keep it on, though.
You don't turn off the volume on Eagles games. I thought that's other games.
No, I can't. Sometimes, there's certain broadcasters. Like, I can't do 3 hours.
Names. Name names right now.
It rhymes with Shmoney Shmomo.
No. No, I mean, 3 hours of Gus. That's a lot.
Oh, disagree on Gus.
Well, got to keep Gus on.
Jack Maserati Marv. No, I like both those guys.
To learn more, visit realizethedream.org.
What a day. Martin Luther King Jr. deserves to have a day named after him.
Okay, by the way, you said the pregame. Let's do it the second Tirico and Collinsworth. It's those two guys. So when the slide happens... I don't know. Do they still do the slide? When Chris Collinsworth appears on air,
here's the guy.
Boom, it's on.
Okay.
8.5. I cannot wait. Get ready for some breakfast tomorrow, guys.
Yum.
Yay.
888-710-4ISN. You know EJ's getting the juice, by
no
the way.
No fresh squeeze orange
juice. Yes, he gets
what?
The juice.
Well,
yummy.
I get the juice.
Yummy.
The action is the juice. No, he always gets the juice. It's the $8 fresh squeeze OJ.
Sorry, OJ Simpson over here.
Oh, like, gosh.
Yeah.
Good heavens.
Wow, why did you call me that?
Because with
the juice. You're the juice. That's your new nickname. Do you want that nickname?
You could call me OJ Mayo or someone else. OJ McDuffie or something. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Well, then why did you not order fresh squeezed orange juice on my credit card? That would help.
I think that's not the worst crime about this between OJ Simpson and EJ Stewart.
Oh, my God.
What did OJ do?
You're in New York City. Do you know how much fresh squeezed orange juice costs?
$6. Then it was 6 inches. Then it was 12 inches.
Inflation.
By side note, I was convinced OJ Mayo was going to be the heir apparent to Michael Jordan at one point. That
very
guy,
understandable.
Oh, he was so good.
Yeah, very understandable.
Speaking of hoops, scandal yesterday, major scandal. Perloff's not convinced that anyone cares about this.
That's not what I said. I do feel like the whole Pablo Torre New York Times thing kind of got like a little bit of a social media online vibe to me. I'm not sure with America's game starting tonight. I do see a little bit of that, but I am fascinated by this story.
Was this all just one big ploy to circumvent the salary cap? You suddenly don't care about circumventing the salary cap?
I mean, listen, if you're going to say Jalen Brunson, the Knicks is next, and then Tom Brady and the Patriots, then you got my interest.
Okay. We will unravel this scandal that's now embroiled the Los Angeles
Clippers.
Nothing
to see here in New York, by the way.
And their billionaire owner.
Please disperse.
Steve Ballmer, 888-710-4ISN. As far as tonight is concerned, doesn't matter how it looks for the Dallas Cowboys. They are a big underdog, and they have said they're going to sell out to stop the run. Will they be able to contain Saquon Barkley? All of that and more next. It's going to be a no for me, dog.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare, want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. So yesterday, the internet was taken over by Pablo Torre, which has been happening a lot lately. He is an investigative reporter now for The Athletic. If he calls you up, just throw your phone into a river because you're in big trouble. Yeah.
It's like the feds are going to be at your door any minute.
And the funny thing is, Roseman making a trade request.
Yeah, the most
random things ever. I think on our bingo cards of stories that were going to come up yesterday, the Clippers cheating on Kawhi Leonard's contract was not anywhere to be seen. But big bombshell dropped. So, Maggie, why don't you explain exactly what happened?
Okay, so we'll play some sound here from Pablo's podcast. And this all came to light because of a company called Aspiration, which I've looked up six different times, and I'm still not exactly sure what they do.
They plant trees, right?
Maybe.
Tree huggers?
It didn't look like they were even doing that. The long story short, they got a lot of investment, but then the founder was arrested on felony fraud charges.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
It was like an eco-friendly digital bank. Okay. Anyway, Steve Ballmer was all in. So here's Pablo Torre first revealing about this tree company called Aspiration that lists, of all people, Kawhi Leonard as a creditor, because obviously this company has filed for bankruptcy with the founder sitting in jail.
On that list of creditors, up near the top, above the Boston Red Sox, is an LLC, a tiny little company that Aspiration owes $7 million. And that LLC's name, David, is what?
KL2 Aspire LLC.
And what does it list there under manager or member name?
Kawhi Leonard.
Whose NBA jersey number, just to connect all of the dots here, happens to be what?
Number 2.
Yeah, so David Sampson there, Amin El Hassan, both sitting in with Pablo Torre. So essentially,
he's Derek Jeter, man.
The Kawhi Leonard was being paid by this company that has since gone bankrupt and been completely fraudulent for like a marketing deal, Pearl, like a sponsorship deal, where Kawhi Leonard would be a spokesperson for this company. But it turns out Kawhi Leonard never publicly acknowledged the company and didn't have to do anything to earn this marketing money.
Okay, he's getting all this money, millions of dollars. What I started doing was scour the internet for any mentions of Aspiration. Any appearances, tweets, quotes, Instagram posts, anything by Kawhi Leonard endorsing Aspiration. And this was hard to find. The grand total number of times that I found Kawhi Leonard ever publicly referencing Aspiration, 0 times.
Yeah, 0 times. When they had other celebrity endorsers like Leonardo DiCaprio and Drake and Robert Downey Jr., and they were doing something to acknowledge this company, Pearl, whether it was retweets, tweets, anything like that, Kawhi Leonard did nothing and was getting paid $7 million a year. Now, here's Pablo with an anonymous employee from this company, Aspiration, that's gone bankrupt, that's now being accused of basically being a shell company. A company that went bankrupt that could have been used for Steve Ballmer, who invested $50 million of his own money in this company, the Clippers owner. It was used so that they could circumvent the salary cap and pay Kawhi Leonard. Here's an employee with their voice distorted to protect their identity.
What was your reaction? What were you told?
My reaction was, what the f***? And I was told, like, oh, these are the major contracts and the major players you really need to be aware of. And we went through a litany of, you know, really, really top tier name contracts. And then, oh, by the way, we also have a marketing deal with Kawhi Leonard, a $28 million organic marketing sponsorship deal with Kawhi. And that, if I had any questions about it, essentially don't, because it was to circumvent the salary cap, LOL.
LOL.
Haha. Yeah, that was an anonymous employee who worked in the finance department of this company, Aspiration, that Steve Ballmer, the Clippers owner, was a heavy investor in, saying that they were passing money through the company with this no-show marketing gig for Kawhi Leonard to pad his pockets even more.
Yeah, I mean, one of my first thoughts is like, God, once again, Kawhi sounds like an idiot for not even like pretending to do any marketing for them.
Or that fact the company name is KL2 Aspire.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, for some reason, this feels like the right player to do something like this. Like, my thought was like, when you do a no-show job in The Sopranos, like, you at least like show up once in a while and sit on a lawn chair. Like, Kawhi, try a little here.
That was actually written into his contract that he didn't have to do anything that went against his beliefs. So
1160. Yeah.
He didn't believe like, in working.
Yeah. Beliefs like common sense?
Yeah, I guess not. Well, I don't even know. I mean, how much do you think, and I'm not taking Kawhi Leonard off the hook here. The allegations look pretty bad. There's a mountain of evidence that suggests that he was getting money from this company to do nothing, to circumvent the salary cap. I also think that Kawhi is kind of, in some ways, a bystander for his Uncle Dennis, who actually is kind of, feels like he's running the show. Now, again, Kawhi's a grown adult, so I don't want to infantize him, whatever that word
is. Yeah.
But it does always
infantilize.
Infantilize. Thank you. It feels like Uncle Dennis, his handler, is the guy who's always there with this handout, because the NBA actually had to investigate this before, where Kawhi Leonard, when he signed with the Clippers, it raised some eyebrows. Like, did they sweeten the pot? And there was a thought that Uncle Dennis was asking teams, what can you do for us on top of just the exorbitant contract that they gave Kawhi?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, like my non-rational reactions were, Steve Ballmer's an idiot. Like, this is consistent with thinking James Harden's going to lead you to an NBA title. Like, that guy might have money, but like he was just at the right place at the right time, because he is not a smart owner. And this is a perfect example. Like, how do you be so brazen? Like, I'll bet you this happens all over the place. Did you think the same thing? Like, there are gray areas where players do promotions for companies that are associated with the team. It's a way, and it could be totally above the board. A player might choose a city where he knows he's going to get a lot more marketing dollars, right? Like, that's the way the world works. But to do it this way is just like, unless they can totally disprove it, I'm just like, oh my God, he's an idiot.
Well, Mark Cuban came out and defended him and said, Steve Ballmer is not an idiot, and he would never allow, he has so much money, over $100 billion, right? He has so much money that he could save any company from bankruptcy if he knew that this was all going to become public and it would come back on him and boomerang back on him. He could dig any company out of bankruptcy. It didn't have to go to bankruptcy.
But then why would he get a guy whose usage percentage is like an NBA record high, who plays no defense, and James Harden, who you know can't deliver in the big moments of the playoffs? Like, if he thought that was going to work, then what? Then Cuban's wrong. Like, he's not smart enough to save any company, because he can't save his own team.
Well, the funniest, the irony of this is that they could do all this cheating, allegedly, and they still haven't won jack squat. And so,
yeah, unless they go, and can he invent a time machine to get Kawhi 5 years ago? Because that's the other thing. That was EJ's reaction immediately. I think, like, Kawhi Leonard is clearly washed. Why is he getting extra money?
Yeah, it was to entice him to re-sign, right? To get there for and then to re-sign with them. And by the way, he re-signed for the max that it was allowed at the the time. And now this was just money on top of it, allegedly, to make Uncle Dennis whole. I don't know, but here's the bottom line about this. Whatever the TikTok of the scandal is, however salacious you think it is, the NBA's got to come down really hard on the Clippers. I saw that one of the fines that the NBA teams get for things like this is $7.5 million. So basically the same as a Kawhi Leonard no-show job for a year. It's got to be draft picks, like it was back in Minnesota in 2000 with the Joe Smith scandal, where they were promising him, hey, take a smaller deal now. We're going to get you on the back end. The next time around, we'll make it bigger. They threw the book at Minnesota. That was the David Stern era. I think they've got to get real heavy-handed here, because you mentioned Pablo Torre was on Dan Patrick's show yesterday kind of teasing, my tip line is now a Jalen Brunson, you know, everyone pointed the finger at Jalen Brunson, who signed this very team-friendly deal. If you want to actually have parity in your league, or you, whatever a salary cap is supposed to do, you got to make sure it can do that. And you got to throw the book at these owners that are so brazen, if this is actually true, to do stuff like this.
Yeah. It also brings up the point, like, these players are obviously underpaid in the current system. Because it's like college. There's a black market evolving where owners are like, well, I want to get above this salary cap, which is the way it used to be. And you used to be able to sort of buy a title. But there's the thing about it, like, Bomber clearly can't buy a title, even if he cheats. The NBA, like, you can't. I'd like to see Joe Lacob, the Warriors, he spends a lot, right? But I don't think you can spend your way to NBA titles. Like, wouldn't the Knicks have done that by now?
Well, yeah. I mean, you also need the combination of the right people running the team. But, you know, to be honest, like, the Warriors did take advantage of a salary cap spike, which is when they were able to get Kevin Durant, but everyone had access to that spike. This was not going above and beyond. But I'm curious about whether or not the Knicks now get mentioned. People now are going back into Tom Brady and Robert Kraft and how Brady always took these team-friendly deals. Now, there's nothing you can do about that now, but...
Oh, my God. I mean, he's a perfect candidate because he's always got some weird business stuff going on, too. Like, how do we know that that's not tied to Kraft? And who can blame Robert Kraft if he did that?
Oh, the Patriots cheated every which way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. It's so funny. I'm very accepting of that for some reason. I'm like, that's not even the top five of worst things they possibly did in the 20s. I mean, sorry, Maggie. I know he beat your Bills a lot.
That's all right. They didn't need anything extra to beat those Bills teams. That was not what you needed the salary cap circumvention for.
I don't want to start any rumors, but do we know that the Pegulas didn't help pay for that fancy wedding of Josh Allen this summer? Maybe gave him a good deal on the catering?
I mean, it'd be about damn time. Josh Allen's making all them so much money.
Now that's investigative journalism right there.
Yeah. Riding Josh Allen's coattails.
Listen, Christian McCaffrey made sure he got his contract up above board. I respect that guy.
To pay for his wedding.
Yeah, held out. Yeah. Kept a secret. Yeah, got the money and then got the wedding.
The Niners are oddly cheap, though. They probably were not paying like extra on top of the other thing.
They weren't drinking the best, you're saying? They weren't drinking the best sparkling?
No, I don't think the Niners owners would go cheat the salary cap.
Yeah, I got you.
I wonder who was the actual, you know, bread makers in those relationships, the Josh Allen relationship and the Christian Tom McCaffrey Brady. Marriage.
Oh, the McCaffrey marriage? Well, Tom Brady, I mean, Giselle was bringing in a lot of coin.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think Haley makes a lot. I don't think it's NFL quarterback money, though. I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Is she a $20 million a film actress?
No, she does more critical darlings, like, you know, like Sinners. I don't think she got $20 million for that. That was kind of a low-budget Oscar kind of movie.
I mean, like $5 million, maybe?
So speaking of Sinners, and Peter, we'll get to you in a moment. I know you're sitting here.
I thought
here.
You were going to call me a sinner for a second. Oh, my God.
Repent. You're the most pious person on the show, quite frankly.
Yannick Sinner.
We'll get to your update in a moment, but I just want to tie this in for a second. So I want to see Sinners really badly because everyone says it's great. It's a three-hour movie, and football season's about to start. But I do want to see it. My husband goes, you know, it's like a horror movie, though, which I loathe. I cannot watch scary movies. They stay with me for too long. They disturb me. You literally were emailing us about this yesterday, about a horror movie that's now entered your life in a bad way.
Peter, you might relate to this. My daughter, who's 13, came up to me. She's, Daddy, I got to talk to you about something. Mm-hmm. She calls me Dad,
still actually. Saying Daddy?
No, I don't know.
It sounded better that way. Past the Daddy.
And editorial changes. I pray she's not listening to this. But she's like, I just saw this long TikTok on the movie Saw and what happened, and now I can't get it out of my head. And then I'm like, honey, it's not real. I'll go and I'll read the description and explain how it's fake. So I go on Wikipedia and read about the movie Saw from, I think, 2004. Now I'm scared, too. So we got a scared dad. I'm like, do you guys know the plot of this movie? It is terrifying.
I never watched those movies, ever.
You couldn't pay me to watch Saw.
I pay you to read the Wikipedia entry? Because that'll keep you up at night.
All I'm seeing here is Adam, a photographer, awakens in a dilapidated bathtub with his ankle chained to a pipe.
Yeah, it gets way worse from there.
Mm-mm.
Manny, have you seen any of these movies?
Hell no. No. The concept of paying $15 just so I can be scared for 95 minutes is so stupid to me.
So we're a show of wimps. I love it.
Yeah, no, I'm with Maggie. I can't watch these horror movies.
You call me a wimp. No. I say financially smart.
Yeah. Sinners, by the way, nothing like that. Sinners is not scary.
But it's vampires, no?
Yeah, it's vampires. But vampires are not as scary as a real human who wants to form a human jigsaw puzzle. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Maybe dump that.
Yeah, I can't watch scary stuff, although I watch the Jets every week. So yeah.
There's that.
Horror Look show. At that. Look at Peter Schwartz with the jokes.
With the zinger, yeah.
Where's the...
Who brought this guy?
Where's the bing bing?
Yeah. Play the one of the other stupid drops when I'm here.
All right, Peter, hold tight for a second, will you? Sure. We don't want to shortchange that kind of genius.
Yeah. I mean, are we doing Elijah Vera Tucker in the update? Is that what you're talking about?
I mean, I was livid yesterday. Oh, my God. I started over.
We'll get to the Jets
I was drinking on my podcast yesterday talking about it.
Wow. Things are bleak.
Yeah, move over.
You know where your
move over, Shaw.
Right.
Here come the 2025 New York Jets.
Ah, we'll get to all the latest headlines in just a moment. Plus, very important update for you, which is speaking of those crafts, which we're now wondering, what were those black bags they were handing to Tom Brady all those years? I'm just kidding. They made another big declaration yesterday. We'll get to that and Peter Schwartz's headlines. It's Maggie Perloff Show.
Oh, is it Coke?
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. NFL season kicks off tonight. Perloff's Eagles on their title defense. Boo. The Dallas Cowboys, one of the most talked about teams ever, especially this offseason with the trade of Micah Parsons. So much on the table in this game.
It's going to be a hard night for you guys because the Eagles do the celebration before and look good during the game. I've been pretty insufferable since mid-February. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's why it's really important that Dallas shows up in this game.
Am I rooting for the Cowboys because of Perloff? This is awful.
Yeah,
welcome to life with a Philadelphia Eagle fan in it.
Well, listen, I gave you an out. Now we have a show bet going on. How many times will Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth say Micah Parsons' name?
We set the line at 8.5, and I have the under, and you have the over. So whoever wins buys breakfast tomorrow.
I think 8.5 is too high. I mean, come on. We got all game.
Is it the whole broadcast or is it just kickoff to the end of the game?
It's when Mike Tirico and Collinsworth come on screen.
Okay.
So I get a little pregame.
Okay, wait. I just want to make sure for any technicalities here. Mm. Sometimes in the post-game show, they might bring Collinsworth back on.
No.
Doesn't exist. Okay. Nope. So it's from when Collinsworth slides in to when Tirico throws it to... whoever's
the
studio.
Maria Taylor.
Do they go to the studio on this game? Probably. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
They don't normally do Thursday night games, so it's a weird schedule for NBC.
So Jason Garrett can give
They're probably on site. Probably the whole thing is on site. They probably aren't back in New York. Have the whole thing in New York, in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you're probably right. Good TV production.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No. All right, we've broken it down. By the way, this is all available online if we actually looked into this before.
Nah, we got it. So that's the line, 8.5. How many times do they mention Micah Parsons tonight? The loser buys breakfast tomorrow. Schwartz, are you with us tomorrow? You might get
breakfast. I am not, but I'm going to go with the over just for, just to include myself in the...
Okay.
In the proceedings.
You're
I'm going with the over.
Side. All right. What else you got for us?
Sounds like I'm getting breakfast from Schwartz as well. Sounds good.
If I'm not here, then I'm not part of the
It's all good. I'll take
payment.
Venmo,
I'm
Cash just... App, whatever you got. Venmo, Cash App, Zelle. I got you, baby.
Apple Pay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm all there.
Anything but cash.
I've gotten used to learning Apple Pay with two kids who are always asking for money. So, and it was always my wife that took care of it. And now I just recently learned how to use it because I didn't know how to use Apple
Pay. It's great, right?
Well, it depends on your point of view. For the kids, it's great. It's not so great for me.
It depends what your bank account looks like. At Apple Pay, the money goes in, the money goes out. Way too easy.
Yeah. But it helps you track your kids. You know what they're doing. I got to be honest. Yeah, I got a random one the other day. Speaking of horror movies, I got a $29.99 bill from TikTok on my Apple Pay. I'm like, what the heck is that? Is it like from Russia or something? I still haven't figured it out.
Your daughter's probably bought something on TikTok, right?
TikTok Shop.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, can buy stuff from there.
Mm-hmm. TikTok Shop.
Oh, they'll sell you crap anywhere.
Amen.
What is TikTok Shop?
You're about to find out.
Keep looking at those Apple charges, buddy.
It's probably your daughter's buying clothes or something.
Makeup, maybe.
Listen, half of it is I'm trying to watch the NFL, and I have about 9 different services at play right now. That's another thing. By the way, we haven't even gotten into that, Maggie. What's happening with Red Zone? Oh, my God.
I love how the NFL's like, hey, just a heads up, tomorrow we're charging you $550. I'm like, oh, well, thank you for the warning. All right, Peter, what do you
got? I have to at least get the spot in here. This update is brought to you by Progressive Commercial Insurance. It protects small businesses with affordable coverage options. Quote today at progressivecommercial.com. I'm going to get to that in a second. The NFL season gets underway tonight at Lincoln Financial Field as the Super Bowl champion Eagles take on the Cowboys. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni is ready to go.
Now we got to go do it. We got to let our habits take over in the game. You know, as coaches, we got to let our habits take over in the game as players. But I feel good about where we are right now. And this will be a really good test against a really good opponent.
An opponent in the Cowboys that no longer has Micah Parsons, but quarterback Dak Prescott says the Cowboys are in a good place.
We added a great player. Obviously got some picks for the future. I'm not going to say we're better. We've got to go out there and prove it. We'd have to prove it even if he was on this team. So I'm not going to say that by any means. But I know adding a guy like Kenny Clark, adding a true leader, a real man that's going to only elevate this team, who's been a Pro Bowl player and is excited about being here.
Kickoff tonight's at 8:20 Eastern time. We got to jump on mentioning Micah Parsons there.
Yeah. By the way, I wasn't aware until last week that Kenny Clark is the greatest human being in the history of the NFL. Are you guys aware of that?
Everything feels like shade towards Micah. I know he's just praising a teammate, but like he's a Pro Bowler, a real man. Is that what he said? A leader?
Yeah.
A real man. I know that he doesn't mean that against Micah. I'm like, all right, he's a Pro Bowler. Great. Micah Parsons, all pro. There's a difference.
Well, everyone's talking about character with Kenny Clark. I saw an Albert Breer report that Green Bay did not want to let him go because he's such a leader. And then I saw this TikTok video, actually, of him behind the scenes with this cute little family coming to Dallas. It does seem like there's some intangibles with Kenny Clark. I mean, there better be a lot of them because they just let him, Micah Parsons, go.
No, I love that the Packers are like, yeah, we really didn't want him to go. No, Kenny, don't go. But we'll actually trade his ass out of town with 2 first-round picks to get Micah Parsons.
True leader, a real man.
Real man.
The Koch family has reportedly agreed to buy a 10% stake. Koch. You never heard of him before?
No, I haven't. I thought it was Koch.
Well, neither did I. Koch family has reportedly agreed to buy a 10% stake in the new... Apparently, they're involved in textiles. I did a little research.
Good.
In between updates.
Yeah.
I feel like I had to educate myself.
They made their money on textiles? I thought it was energy.
I Googled them, and something came up with textiles.
Okay.
You have that much money, you're probably...
Probably in a lot of things.
Yeah, you got your hand in a lot of jars.
The deal would come with a $10 billion... valuation pending approval by league owners could come as soon as their next meeting in October. I imagine we're out of time.
We are, but thank you for that. And we've got a lot to do, including something we're really excited about. So starting top of the hour, we are starting the Maggie and Perloff Mount Olympus. No, we are starting the Maggie and Perloff King of the Mountain.
Should I dump that?
Please do. We did it for so long. King of the Mountain.
Yeah.
This is going to be going all season long. Every Thursday, we are searching for the greatest NFL team of all time.
Oh, my God.
Just single team, one single season. And so today's head-to-head matchup is the 1998 Minnesota Vikings, thought to be the greatest team to never win a Super Bowl, bro.
Yep.
Up against... the 1972 Miami Dolphins, the only team to be undefeated wire to wire.
Ooh, this is good.
Which was the better team? You're going to help us decide.
I just want to point out, the Koch brothers obviously made their money in oil, not textiles. Well, how do you think this world works, Peter Schwartz?
Just like Jerry Jones. Okay, 888-710-4ISN. The King of the Mountain is next.